Starcom Network and the Department of History and Philosophy, University of the West Indies, Cahill Campus present Today in Bajan History.
Hello, my name is Raddy Batson. I am a graduate of the Department of History and Philosophy of the University of the West Indies, Cahill Campus. After years of agitation and advocacy by forces here in Barbados and in Great Britain, the emancipation of the enslaved peoples throughout the British Empire became a reality from August 1, 1834. However, exactly 7 months earlier on this day, February 1, 1834, the governor of Barbados, Sir Lionel Smith, issued a stern warning to the still enslaved people in Barbados relative to what was expected of them after what would be a momentous occasion. Any great joy the laborers may have felt about their imminent release from bondage would have been tempered by the words of the governor when he issued a proclamation that spoke about their change in status. The proclamation was carried in the newspaper The Barbadian, and in it, Governor Smith acknowledged that the enslaved population may not have been fully aware of or fully understand the benefits of emancipation or the obligations to their current owners that would remain, albeit with a few changes, after August 1st. In quite formal and almost terse language, the governor spoke about the various changes that would impact the lives in the near future of what, at least on paper, were supposed to be freed men. After August, the former slaves would now be called apprentices, and they were to remain obligated to labor for their current owners for a period of time after 1834, the field laborers and tradesmen for 6 years, and the domestic or household laborers for 4. The reason given for that difference was that the domestic workers were required to work longer hours than those who worked outside. The field laborers could not be compelled, under normal circumstances, to work for more than 45 hours per week, although there were, of course, exceptions to that. So in essence, the domestic workers were being rewarded for their greater time commitment on a weekly basis to their employers during the period of apprenticeship. If workers absented themselves from work or were neglectful of their duties, they had to make up the time lost. All children 6 years and younger at August 1, 1834 would be immediately freed, and so would any child that was born after that date. However, if in the eyes of the powers that be, a mother was neglectful in raising the infant, that child could be pressed into mandatory servitude to the mother's employer until the age of 21. Also during apprenticeship, women could no longer be whipped, but they could be subject to hard labor or imprisonment as punishment. The governor urged the soon-to-be-freed people to recognize the advantages bestowed upon them by the king and parliament, and warned them that they must be orderly and industrious, and that they should do their duties honestly and faithfully to their current owners. Furthermore, Governor Smith made it clear that should the laborers be found idling, they were liable to be treated as vagabonds and vagrants, as was done in Britain, and subject to similar punishments. The governor ended his proclamation on a note void of irony. Even after highlighting the obligations of the future freedmen to those people that essentially would remain their masters, he made a point of mentioning that the government of Great Britain had committed itself to paying £20 million to the slave owners for what was seen as a future loss of property. He argued that this commitment by Britain to secure their freedom should be seen by the laborers as a blessing and should therefore encourage them to be of good conduct and to be dutiful to those entitled to their services. As it turned out, apprenticeship came to an end for all laborers in August 1838, and the freedmen were never compensated for years of unpaid toil. And Britain finally cleared its debt to the former owners in 2015.
Today in Bajan History, with Starcom Network and the Department of History and Philosophy, University of the West Indies, Cahill Campus.